This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Good evening. This is Rock Cash, your host this week on A People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen in by phone calling 716-748-0144. Or if you have a smartphone or a computer, go to bbsradio.com and navigate to Station 2. Click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests. Toll-free, USA, Canada, 888-429-5471. Tonight's guest, Carrie Wedler, the girl who torched the Obama t-shirt that she wore campaigning for Mr. Obama, and now she's pretty pissed off. So she took off the shirt, torched it live on YouTube, and she explains why. And believe me, when a hot chick like Carrie Wedler takes off her t-shirt, we notice. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm guessing that Obama got you up in an uproar with his actions.
You know, he did. And I wouldn't say I'm still mad at him, because I think I've reached a point in my political understanding where I think that if it weren't him, it would have been someone else. But I was extremely angry with him for a while. And I think it was especially just because he ran such a good game and he sold what he promised to give to the people so well that it was such a disparity between his promises and his actual presidency.
Played sounds like a past tense. He's still playing the game, and
yeah,
we're
absolutely
getting,
good point.
We're getting absolutely nothing from him, but it seems like we're getting more and more government and more freedom taken away.
Absolutely.
So, what drove you? What really was the tipping point that made you, you know, say, oh, okay, that's it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to wake people up. What was the wake up point for you?
Well, I guess it's a different point from when I actually decided to burn the shirt. When I first became aware of really what was going on and what Obama's agenda actually was, that was a while back, and I was interning in a film studio out here in Hollywood, and I thought I was going to be a screenwriter and get involved in that industry. And it was just an interesting juxtaposition, because I was sitting in this film studio every day, and a lot of times I didn't have anything to do, so I started reading the news. And one of the first articles I remember reading was that Obama had appointed people from Goldman Sachs to his cabinet, and I hadn't been paying attention to politics for years since Obama had been elected, like I said in the video. So reading that really jolted me. And I kept keeping up with the news. I started paying attention to the revolutions that were going on in the Middle East. It was 2011. And it just became a point for me that I needed to be aware of what was going on. And I needed to be speaking out against so much of the crimes that were being committed by my own government, by other governments, by evil corporations that were in bed with governments. So I got involved in the Ron Paul campaign, and fast forward a few years, I was going through an old drawer and I found this Obama shirt, and I just realized how far I had come in my political philosophy and involvement. And I thought, you know what? It's time to torch it. And I wanted to present it in a way that really showed why I was doing it. I didn't want to do it just to hate Obama, because there's a lot of justification for why I would be displeased with him. So that's how I got there.
Well, it's not a matter of hating him personally. It's a matter of hating the actions that he's taking as our representative.
Absolutely.
It's not a good representation. I've also watched a few of your other videos, and you're up with the prep, and you're up with people getting ready. But it seems like they're a step ahead of us no matter what we're planning on doing.
You know, I feel like that a lot of the time, and it's very frustrating. But for me, I studied history in school. And once I became more politically active, a lot of that clicked into place. And one of the lessons I took away from my education was that no matter how oppressive a government is, the people always stand up. So as much as it's disheartening to see how beaten down the people are now, I have faith, looking back on thousands of years of history, that eventually there's going to be a breaking point. And the best I can do is try to contribute to that and speed it up. And I think that's how a lot of people feel. So I'm happy just to be saying what I can and doing what I can and hoping that I'm reaching people.
Well, that is true. History is there, and you know, most governments are taken down, but it seems like some of those governments are, or this, the same people are trying this thing over and over and over again. So I guess maybe they feel that they're at the point to where they've got all these non-lethal weapons and controlling weapons these days, that they're not really fearing the people with the guns and the munitions.
You know, I think that's true. I don't think they're fearing us on that front, but I think the fact that they're so desperate to arm themselves proves that they fear us in a much bigger and more vital way, because they see that people are getting fed up and they see that most people see through the lies that they tell every single day. And I think that that's the impetus for them to be arming themselves so heavily. But for me, when it gets to the point where people are so frustrated that they're willing to pay attention and they're willing to stand up, I think the guns will be useless.
Oh, absolutely. I've got a question from an audience member in Boston. Jeff in Boston wants to know, in your videos, you say several watch lists are out there, and I'm sure you're on some. I'm sure I'm on some, because I'm definitely not mainstream either, but we're trying to wake up the public. They want to know what watch lists you think you might be on, or...
Oh, great. Sure, that's a good question. You know, I actually haven't filed a Freedom of Information Act request yet, although I intend to. I'd love to know the full extent of what list I'm on, but I'm pretty sure that I am on the Department of Homeland Security's list, because... Some people know this about me, some people don't, but last year I was dating activist Adam Kokesh, and if you're familiar with him, you know that his home was raided after he made a video on the 4th of July, and I was present for the raid, so all of my information was logged, and we were detained for hours, and I was mistreated, and maybe I'm being presumptuous, but I'm pretty sure that if the DHS was going through my purse and taking down my name, they probably recorded it somewhere.
Oh, of course. There's no doubt about that. I'm sure that I am on the list just by being a veteran of the United States military. I believe we're all automatically on the list, and that's kind of frightening to think that the same government that we served is now willing to turn against us.
Mm-hmm.
It's heartbreaking, despairing. Adam. I believe we had Adam on a show not too long ago. Back in, I believe, December or something like that. He was on the show. He's in a lot of hot water, no matter where he turns. But that's okay. I mean, he needs to stand up and do what's right, as we all do as American citizens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think he does such a good job of demonstrating, you know, he's a veteran too, and he does such a good job of demonstrating peace and nonviolence and really just getting through to people and being able to articulate these values to them, having been to Iraq and having seen what the government and what the military does. He's in a unique position to communicate that. And so I really admire him for that. But in general, as you were saying about the veterans, I think it's, sorry to backtrack, but I did want to comment that I think it is absolutely sickening to see that some of the highest priorities for the government to target are the people that they claim to care about, which is evident that they don't whatsoever, but it's just hypocrisy at its finest.
We've got a question from Evan in New Jersey, and he's, Kerry, I just saw your video, and... Okay. Oh, he's seen a video of you burning, and he wants to know if you're single. He thinks you're hot. Of course, you're going to get that all night long.
No comments. I am married to Freedom and Liberty and my YouTube channel.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got another question from Alice in Massachusetts. She wants to know if you support Ron Paul and why, even though he isn't running for president anymore.
Oh, I absolutely support him. He was really, I don't want to say him, but at least his ability to articulate the values that he did really had an effect on me and really helped push me towards being active. You know, a lot of people say Ron Paul cured my apathy. And for me, that's entirely true because for me, having studied history, I remember when I was still very programmed into the system in high school, I read one paragraph in my 11th grade U.S. history book about Operation Ajax in Iran. It was the CIA's first mission to overthrow the Shah, or no, to overthrow their democratically elected leader, Mossadegh, and then put in the Shah. And I remember being sort of irked by that when I read it in my history book, but it was one paragraph and I forgot about it. And I learned about it a bit in college. And then the next time I ever heard anyone speak about it publicly was Ron Paul. And that's when something clicked for me and I went, wow, he's telling the truth. He's speaking about things that no other politician will talk about. So, yeah, he's not running for president in 2000. He'll probably never run again, but he's still doing his Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. And I think that he's just such a valuable person to be spreading that message. And I think he does it like nobody else can.
Oh, absolutely. He put out there a lot of things that we didn't know, like, for instance, Israelis funding Hamas and mm-hmm. the U.S. actually funding the madrasas for the, to radicalize Islam. A lot of people don't know this, and it's good that a congressman like Ron Paul puts that stuff out. Mm-hmm. We know that Cynthia McKinney tried doing the same thing and got her kicked out of Congress, so... It's a tough situation that we're in, unfortunately, but I think it's a worldwide revolution that is going on.
Absolutely. It's an exciting time to be alive.
All right. Phil in Kentucky wants to know if you're a veteran of the military, Gary.
I am not at all, although I would like to say, I think I'm going to write a blog post about this. I am not a veteran, but I have a phone number that was crossed with the Veterans Association of Long Beach in California, and it's been crossed for about 5 years. So about 5 years, I've been getting phone calls from elderly veterans trying to reach their doctors and trying to get test results and trying to check up on loved ones. And although I'm not a veteran and I, of course, have no experience with that, I've had a very interesting insight into how the VA deals with veterans because in 5 years of people calling nonstop and not being able to reach their doctor, I'm imagining that when they do finally reach their doctor, they're notifying them of the issue, you know, saying, I can't reach my doctor. I'm getting put through to this girl in West LA and nothing's ever been done to fix it. No one ever follows up on anything. And this just falls in complete line with everything I've ever read about the VA and how it treats its veterans. So, no, I'm not a veteran, but I've talked to a lot of veterans just by picking up my phone every day, and I really sense their frustration.
Yeah, I usually go down to that Veterans Administration myself and take things to the vets. And I have a few friends that are always up in that area. Tom in Oklahoma wants to know if you've studied the 9/11 attacks and do you think it was an inside job?
I have studied them, although not as in depth as I would like to. And I tutor a girl and I was just showing her some videos about that because we were going over the terrorism section in her history book. And it made me really want to jump back into that and get some more information. I don't know enough to claim that it is an inside job, but I am absolutely certain that the government's official story has gaping holes in it and they're covering something up. So it could very well be an inside job. It could very well be negligence, but I'm going to wait to comment on that until I've fully done my research. I don't want to be blabbering without having the evidence to back it up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've done extensive research and I found out that a lot of our history is actually flaunted. It's mm-hmm. not what we're being taught in school. Mm-hmm. The correct parts of the history isn't what we're being taught. And it seems like our curriculum is set up for us to keep us at a lower level of education here in the United States. We're not aware to what's really going on.
I can totally agree with that. Since college, I've worked a lot in education. I've done tutoring. I grade papers. And I watch the curriculum, I see Common Core, I hear what students tell me about their experience in school, and it's so frustrating to hear what a low priority there is on thinking and on questioning things and what a high priority there is on memorization and on, you know, there are days where I think the girl was telling me they were supposed to be reading To Kill a Mockingbird, but instead they didn't read it. They just watched the movie and they were tested on it as if they had read it. And that's the amount of just laziness and negligence. I mean, teachers are fired all the time for getting in fights. Their DARE officer was given paid leave after he drove drunk into a house in Beverly Hills. So it never ceases to amaze me how terrible the education system is.
Carrie, do you have a website that these people can tune into and keep up with you, or a Facebook site that you would like these people to know?
Absolutely. I'd love to tell you. I have a blog. I'm actually a writer before I'm a YouTuber. I'm just finishing up a book about culture and society, and you can read my blog. It's www.inrogue.co. It's not .com. I couldn't get that URL, but In Rogue for me is something because I used to be very programmed into the system in the form of celebrity culture and gossip and shopping, as well as politically. So I kind of went rogue. So you can find my blog, www.inrogue.co. And on Facebook, you can just find me by searching my name.
Oh, great. You've also got things against a lot of celebrities, especially in the music industry, and you see a misrepresentation and them using their celebrity status to sway people in different directions. So go ahead, go on the attack. I want to hear it.
Okay, great. Well, I think it goes two ways, and I don't want to get sidetracked because I could talk about this for hours. But on one hand, I think that they sway people towards mindless consumerism. Obviously, that's a lot of what my book is about, just in the sense of selling this unattainable image and presenting this flawless fake illusion of what it means to be famous and what it means to quote unquote have everything. So I grew up craving all of those things, and I watched hours upon hours of TV every day. I was a child of divorce, so I was in large part raised by the media, and I know full well how easy it is to be influenced by that. But I think that the bigger detriment to having celebrities have so much power and sway is that a lot of them are very mindlessly engaged in politics. And I have a video about this, about how much celebrities use their influence to support Barack Obama. In 2008, there was the, I can't remember what it was called, but it was the video that will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas made. It was a music video with Scarlett Johansson and all these celebrities. And I played it nonstop in 2008. I cried when I watched it, you know? So the influence of that is very real, very tangible. And I mean, Obama was enlisting celebrities to promote Obamacare just a few months ago. And I don't even think that that made a difference, which is a good sign because the program is so flawed. But, you know, I think it says a lot that Beyonce is showing up at Michelle Obama's birthday party and they're all partying together. And for me, it's just a perfect portrait of the elites versus the rest of us. And it's so frustrating because there's so many average, everyday people who look up to them instead of seeing them for what they are, which is people who promote the elite class having power over the rest of us.
Well, growing up in Southern California, you know, it seems like every young girl's dream is to take that materialistic route. And that's really it's not what life is about. I guess you've realized that as you've gotten older.
Yes, I learned that the hard way, and I had to do it from direct exposure, but I learned.
Well, that's the way it works. You were also talking about the shit hits the fan. Excuse my French, but explain to us about that.
In what context exactly do you mean?
The preppers, and if you're going to somebody's house, or you know. Some people, when the shit hits the fan, they're like, I'm going to come knocking at your door. These preppers are advertising themselves. Idiots are out there advertising themselves. Even state militia, you know, these groups that are just advertising themselves as state militias. These guys got to be idiots. I mean, why broadcast, you know, what you are, what you're going to do if people, you know, come on, the government doesn't tell us what they're going to do, so why are you giving them heads up?
That's a great point, absolutely. And I mean, I to be honest, I'm not, I wouldn't characterize myself as a prepper. I'm aware of that prerogative, but I haven't personally taken it upon myself to prepare in that way. I've always told myself I'll just leave the country. I have places to go outside of America, but a lot of people ask me, like, why are you still here?
There's no escaping it. It's not just America.
That's true. That's very
true. I was looking at Africa. We have the U.S. United States African Command, the United States Australian Command. It seems like we've got a command structure all over the world. And I think that Iran and Iraq and Syria were just those command structures that they haven't taken over yet.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And they're going for it still because they won't be satisfied until they have it.
Exactly. They're going for the full pie. Greedy bastards. Mike in California was wondering if you had any comments on Hollywood, the system you encountered. Was it as greedy and as perverted as everybody's heard?
Yes, it is. I don't want to comment too heavily because I didn't work in the industry for that long. But one of the things that really turned me off about it was just seeing how much, what a lack of good content there was. And I don't want to be down on all of Hollywood because I think that a lot of important films have been made. I mean, even just The Hunger Games, I think that that was a great film. And it really presented real issues in a very creative way that got young people engaged. However, on the whole, what I did was I was a script reader. So I read script after script and I talked to agents and I was working in production and development. So for me, the most disheartening part was just seeing that most producers couldn't care less about the quality of a film. They only care about numbers. And for a while, I was pretty convinced that everything in Hollywood was a conspiracy because I watched a documentary. Well, it's not a conspiracy. Well, it's a conspiracy in the sense that the government is plotting with Hollywood. There's a great documentary called Hollywood and the Pentagon, Dangerous Liaisons, and you can find it on YouTube. It's about 15 minutes, and it just explains how the military works with Hollywood to make films that promote the military and what happens when you don't work with the government and how that affects your film. And then there's also the Motion Picture Association of America, which is basically the union for huge Hollywood studios that are subsidiaries of bigger conglomerations, and they are in bed with Congress, and they were behind the legislation to censor the internet. So in that sense, it's extremely corrupted, but there is a growing rate of independent studios who aren't attached to these conglomerations, and they're producing really good content, and it's just decentralizing the industry. So I think there's still hope because I personally love film. I love media and I love being entertained. It's just that there's a huge lack of quality entertainment these days.
Oh, there's nothing really out there. It seems like everything, they're pretty much telling everybody the story of what's going on and what's going to happen. And it seems to be the norm. It's like they're putting it out there. They're, in a sense, trying to condition people to accept what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. And one of a lot of the films that have really just made me sick in the last years are things like Lincoln and Zero Dark Thirty and Argo, which are just so misleading. But it's unfortunate because to come back to grading papers, I was grading papers last year and I was reading paragraphs that had evidence in the form of citing movies like Lincoln as actual fact in Zero Dark Thirty. And so there's a real tangible effect of having a nation that is so tuned into movies. And I think that the people in charge know that and they make very use of it.
Of course. They'll never tell you that the real reason Lincoln was killed is because he wanted to take the banking out of public hands and put it in the hands of the government. So the private bankers, of course, eliminated him. Mm-hmm. All right, we've got another question from Ellen in Ohio, and she wants to know what you think about the government. Can a third party change the events? Even Ron Paul said he would not be able to be elected. So what do you think about that?
You know, I don't have too much faith in the political system, especially after seeing what happened to Ron Paul. But I do appreciate the political efforts of a lot of people. I don't know if a third party is the best bet because they do make it so difficult for anyone to rise up. But I have friends who are active here in California, and they have done really great things. They were behind getting the NDAA nullified here. And as much as it's not my choice to be active in politics in that way, I appreciate that they're doing that, you know? And in the long term, is it going to make a huge difference? Maybe not. But for day-to-day life, I think it's really useful to try to be combating these everyday infringements on our freedoms because it's always happening. So it's nice to have people who were there trying to counter it in the legislative realm.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Absolutely. But it doesn't seem like, the insiders want to let anybody in because they're all working together. And if somebody else comes in, they can't really draw them in there unless they force them in there. One more question before we go to break. Helen in Arkansas wants to know, well, actually, she thinks she would make a wonderful teacher, elementary or high school teacher. She wants to know if you would offer your students imaginative curriculum rather than just spoofed facts or spoonfed facts. Sorry.
Absolutely. That sounds great. And I won't claim to know what the best way to stimulate students' minds is, although I do have a lot of fun with the students that I tutor and deviating from the book. We have a routine where we'll read the history chapter and then we'll Google things and I'll show her what's outside of what her book is telling her. But yeah, absolutely. I would love to encourage students to be seeking knowledge themselves and to make them excited to do that. I think that there's such a lack of excitement about learning and knowledge in the school system. And I think that that's one of the primary changes that needs to happen as far as educating young people.
All right. Plug in your website one more time before we go to break. And we'll go to break right after you finish.
Great. Okay. It's www.inrogue.co.
All right. We'll be right back in a few minutes with our guest, Carrie Woodler.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, PalTalk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 PalTalk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining PalTalk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please. Give to the World Food Program.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back. This is Rock Cash with our guest, Carrie Wedler, on the BBS Radio Network, The People Speak, and our awesome sound engineer, Don Newsom. Carrie, welcome back. More questions for you. What are your views on the relationship between Google, the NSA, social media? This comes from Joel in Iowa.
Oh, I think it's a very, very sick and twisted relationship. And I am more prone, obviously, to side with the companies because I understand that they're under a lot of pressure. However, I still cannot condone the fact that they have so generously handed information over so easily. And I think that if their priority really was their customer and their client, they would have been a lot more difficult about handing that information over. And it's particularly jarring to see them try to save face now and pretend like they're making such a fight against the government when they've been complying for so long and keeping it from their customers.
Well, I don't think that they're necessarily complying. I believe that they might be in on it. I mean, this is how their companies take off and they start becoming up on, you know, getting up on the top is because they're pretty much financed by these elite bankers to start out their situation. So,
yeah, I remember when Goldman Sachs took a huge stake in Facebook, and I know that Zuckerberg loves Obama. So, I mean, I have no illusions about who holds the power.
Oh, indeed. I don't think Obama holds any power, though. I think he's just, you know, holds a lot of strings, and they're pulling his strings all the time.
Absolutely.
Telling him what to do. Okay. Oh, sorry. Thought I had another question here. Anyways, who would you even think about putting into office from any of the candidates that might be out there? Do you have any that you actually think might be credible?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. You know, I haven't jumped on the Rand Paul bandwagon, although I appreciate a lot of what he says. I can't say I agree with a lot of the compromises he's made in principle, but I know it's a long shot, but I really like Justin Amash, and I think it's a long time before he would ever run for that kind of office, but I appreciate, you know, how honest he is and upfront, and he always makes public on social media his votes, and he's very open. And to me, he's very principled. So I think it's going to be a long time before a Palestinian gets elected president in America, but it would be cool to see.
Joseph Amash. Oh. So you like Palestinians?
Should I not have said that?
No, absolutely. I'm a Palestinian. So, no, I have no problem with it.
I sympathize.
It's great to be loved. yeah, a lot of people here in the United States really don't see what goes on in the Middle East, and they just believe all of the media crap that they hear as far as Israel protecting itself, and they don't give a second thought to the poor Palestinians that are really the victims.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of suffering they endure on a daily basis is heartbreaking. And it's even more heartbreaking to think that so many people just dismiss it and criticize those who want to talk about it as being anti-Semitic. It's maddening that every time I try to talk about it, it's someone has something to say and just calls you prejudiced.
Let's see. I get anti-Semite. I get Jew hater. Jew basher, Holocaust denier. I've gotten it all, you know. But the thing is, I'm in their face, and I will be in their face because, you know, a lie is a lie. You know, it is what it is. If you're not from the backbone of the land, you never will be.
Absolutely.
So.
And it's particularly frustrating. I just watched a Vice on HBO about how some of the biggest supporters of Israel are evangelical Christians in America. And there's this whole industry where you can go to Israel as a Christian and they'll take you on a tour of all the places where the rapture is going to happen and tell you about all the wonderful things that are coming because the Jews have Israel, and they manipulate people into supporting Israel because they convince them that that's going to get them into heaven, which I think is so manipulative and sad.
Well, they've gotten a hold of our curriculums. They've gotten a hold of our schools. They've gotten a hold of our universities. Of course, they're going to get a hold of people's hearts and people's minds. I was watching Ted Turner one time, and, you know, Ted Turner was talking about how Pat Robertson and Jim and Tammy Baker would meet at the studio with Ted Turner every single day because they didn't trust each other. Just to divvy up the money that came in from these numbskulls on the other end of the boob tube. And it's absolutely crazy. The thing that gets me the most is it's funny. Israel, with the largest booming economy in the world right now, and mm-hmm. they still need our $1,500 to get a family of fake converts to Judaism to Israel.
Right? are you talking about birthright, or are you talking about a different form of immigration?
No, there's different forms of immigration. I know a lot of Russians are just saying they're Jews. They get there so they can get a passport over to the United States or get out of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Birthright should be the seeds of Abraham, and the Palestinians, majority of them are actually that seed, and they were the Judeans of the time that converted to Christianity and Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing there, and I guess only time will tell. But there seems to be a big wake-up going on worldwide, so... You know, a lie can only go on for so long.
Exactly. And it's very encouraging. I know there's so much bad going on in the world, but I think that overall the long-term trend is towards something much better.
Right, because they're not dealing with a single nation right now. They're dealing mm-hmm. with the entire world.
Yep. And it's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's really weird. So... what are your aspirations in the future besides being a teacher?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be a teacher in the traditional sense, maybe a YouTube teacher, but my aspirations are really right now. I'd like to get my book finished. I started it when I was 23. I'm 25 now, and I know that's not that big of a difference in years, but my perspective on what I wrote about has changed significantly, so I need to go back and sort of update what I was saying, because I think when I wrote it, I was not very in tune with the message of freedom and really self-empowerment as much as I thought I was. I realized that as I wrote the book talking about how the media manipulates people, I really left out the ability of the individual to overcome it. So that's what I want to do with finishing my book. And actually, by the middle of June, I'm going to be a certified yoga instructor, which I'm really excited about. It's sort of a different path than my politics. But for me, they go hand in hand because yoga has become a very integral part of my life and meditation, and a lot of the yogic philosophy is about the choices you make and your power to do that and your power to be free and to make to make choices for yourself. So I'd like to find a way to fuse my ability to teach yoga with what I hope to do by informing people and getting them passionate about freedom and about helping others and about standing up to corruption, because so much of yoga is nonviolence. And I think now in the yoga community, there's a lot of ignorance about all the violence that's going on in the world. So I'm looking forward to teaching yoga. And then I just like to keep going with my blog and my YouTube and just keep coming up with different ways of spreading the message to people in ways that they want to consume and digest and that make them excited.
Oh, I'd love to join you with the yoga, but I stopped bending like a pretzel years ago.
That's my yoga.
Yeah, maybe I should get back into it. Phil in Kentucky wants to know what you think on the Federal Reserve. Should it be ended, and have you studied the founding of that?
Oh, absolutely. And it needs to be audited. It needs to be ended. It needs to be exposed because it is the root of so much evil in this country. And like Ron Paul said, it's no coincidence that the century of total baking coincided with the century of total war. And there's a very direct connection to that, as well as with all the economic catastrophes that have been happening for decades. It all can be traced back to the Federal Reserve and private banking. And I think that that's something that Americans know nothing about. And if there were a top priority that they should have to learn about, I think it's most definitely the Federal Reserve.
All right. Moses in Maryland wants to know, have you studied the work of Nikola Tesla and or Elon Musk, and what gives you hope for the future?
I mean, I have studied them, and that's what gives me hope for the future. I think there's so much innovation and technology that's, I mean, it's been there for so long if you look at Tesla, and it was silenced for a reason. And to our benefit, it's not going to be silent for long because the growth curve of technology is just so quickly outpacing what government has to offer that there's just no way that government can sustain itself. And in a very tiny example, for me, one of the things that made it very clear, just the power of the internet with, this is a very tiny example, but with the whole Subway scandal, when it came out that they had yoga mat rubber in their bread. And this is a company that Michelle Obama is using to promote her healthy eating campaign. And the FDA didn't do anything about it. Michelle Obama didn't care. But a couple articles on the internet and Subway was forced to remove the bread from their sandwiches. So the power of people to unite and to communicate using this technology, I think, is going to blow government away in the coming years. And I can't wait.
Yoga mat rubber. No wonder why I didn't eat at Subway's. But then again, I'm from New York. I had a New York style deli. So Subway's is garbage.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
I'm not even from New York, and I can tell you that.
Subways is complete garbage. I've also watched a video of you interviewing somebody in front of a courthouse, and they were talking about the court system and what it's all about. And especially here in California, it's more evident that it is just a business.
Oh, yeah.
It's legal extortion.
Absolutely. And I talked to people who were leaving traffic court because I thought that I would find a lot of frustrated people, and I did. And we just talked about, like you said, how it's a business and how they're constantly just citing people with no real authority. It's all pretty arbitrary. I unfortunately have a ticket in the system right now, too, that I'm dealing with. It's a very minor traffic ticket, but it has been dragged out for, it'll be a year by the time I get back to court. And
claim not guilty.
Exactly. I'm not guilty. He claimed I was talking on my cell phone. But as far as the court system goes, I also want to touch on another situation I was involved in. I had a friend who was being charged with like assault and battery from an altercation at a nightclub. And the violence had been perpetrated on him and he defended himself. And it turned into a long drawn out court case. And they eventually dropped the charges because all of the witnesses made it clear that my friend was innocent. But that wasn't the point. The point was that I had to go down to the courthouse in downtown LA 6 or 7 times. And every single time, it was just so sad to sit in the courtroom and watch. I mean, I was the only white person in there outside of the judge and the bailiff. And I just look around and it's just poor people one after the other in line, just being called up to the judge's stand, being given a fine, being given a punishment and pushed out. And they just look so disheartened and so broken, and it's just so frustrating when you leave the courthouse, there's just cop cars everywhere and homeless people on the streets, and you wonder what the government's priorities really are, because it's clearly not helping people or serving justice.
No, it's extorting every bit of money that they can out of the people, and, you know, we really can't complain because we allowed them to do it.
Absolutely.
We allowed them to do it. You know, I've tried to beat the system as many times as I could, and I've achieved that a few times. And, the reason that I was able to achieve it is because I was able to show where they were at fault, and, they really have no case. So the judge had no choice but to drop it. You know, like especially in Los Angeles, they want to assess people 3 times the amount of the fine. And wait, that's not constitutional. That's not legal.
Yeah, not
the fine is a fine. Right, but they want to assess it. Oh, you're making up your own rules as you go, Your Honor?
Yeah, it's so arbitrary. And it's force and violence. If you don't give us this money, we're going to take your driver's license. If you don't pay us, we're going to take your car, and we'll just screw you over until you surrender. And that's just so unfair. And it really disadvantages poor people more than anyone else, which is hilarious because that's who the government claims they need to help and why they're justified in existing.
Absolutely. I've got another question from an audience member, and Sharon in Pennsylvania wants to know if you support the legalization of marijuana and ending the private prison system.
Absolutely. On both counts, I support the legalization of marijuana, not only because it's been proven to be therapeutic and medicinal, but because people have the right to do what they want with their own body if they're not hurting anyone. And the private prison system, I think, is one of the biggest issues in America right now. And most people don't know. They're not aware of what an industry it is. And it's just, it blows my mind how many people's lives have been ruined because there's a profit to be made. And it's just tragic to see how decimated communities have become and how many people are thrown in jail. Whether they're innocent or nonviolent, they're thrown in jail and their lives are ruined. And yeah, they're given insurance and they're given, or not insurance, they're given health care and they're given food, but what are, they're not being
protected. It's free labor.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's a very sad system. And I'm glad to see that awareness about that is really growing. I think that this time last year, no one knew anything about it. And the more I see, you know, chatter on the internet about it, the more encouraging it is, although I think it's a long ways off. But I know that there was a judge who just got sentenced to like 20 years in prison for sending, like, I don't know the exact number, but he sent so many kids to prison and made a profit off of it because he had a deal with the prison company. I mean, it's you wonder how this happens in America because we're so conditioned to believe that this is where you're free and you get a fair trial and justice always prevails. And that's just not the case.
Well, what I've noticed, Carrie, majority of the people here in the United States, as long as they're having their sex, drugs, and rock and roll, they can care less about what's happening around them.
Yep.
You know, they have their weekend toys and their toy haulers, and they don't care. They're out to have a party and a good time. I mm-hmm. guess they will not get the message until they're starving.
I totally agree. And as long as we're talking about that sort of distraction, I would love to recommend a documentary. It's one that really influenced me and gave me a lot of perspective. It's called The Century of the Self. I imagine a lot of your audience has probably heard of it and seen it. But if you haven't, it's a great tutorial and a great source of information about the actual conspiracy to turn Americans into mindless consuming drones. So it's very relevant. And what do you know, it started just shortly after the creation of the Federal Reserve. So it's extremely relevant to everything that people like us care about.
Of course it's relevant. Yeah, but what do you think of the chemtrails? Have you looked into that? And I know you're in Southern California, so you're seeing what I'm seeing.
I am seeing what you're seeing. It's one of those things where I don't have all of the evidence I think I should, but knowing my government and having seen the evidence I have and looking up at the sky every day, I think it's pretty clear that they're not spraying clouds and it's not just jet trails. There is something in what they're spraying. And it's no surprise that California is one of the filthiest states in the country. And I'm not saying that's caused by chemtrails, but having all that aluminum in the air, I mean, there's so many allergies here and so much sickness. I know people who just come to California, don't have any allergies, don't have asthma, and they get asthma after living here. Just, it's insane the amount of just dirt in the air. And when you add in things like aluminum, it can't be good.
Well, it's not just aluminum. It's aluminum, strontium, and barium that we're being sprayed with. And, you know, since I'm outdoors most of the time and out in the wilderness and I'm a hunter, so when I go out and I see no wildlife and I see places down in the southern desert that used to be lush and now they're all dried up, that's a direct effect that I am seeing from these chemtrails to the ground, no wildlife. But I'm guessing they're doing this because they know a lot of people are just going to go out into the wilderness and you know, strategically, that's the best way to control people is to cut off the food supply.
No, Rock, you know, they're doing it for global warming. That's, you know that, right? sometimes I'm not good at sarcasm, but that was sarcasm.
No, that's funny. That's like these guys, the defenders of the Second Amendment, they're polishing their guns and they're waiting. Okay, what are you going to do when it's too late?
Is that a question for me or for them?
No. I'm just stating. That's a crack up. But I think the best way that we can do this is to have a peaceful revolt. In other words, just stop everything that you're doing. Stop paying into the system. Stop paying the taxes. Stop going to work. Mm-hmm. You take away their power. There's no power. We can shut them down a lot quicker than they can shut us down.
Absolutely. And I think that so many people forget that because they're given so many lies. And some people never even know that because they're brought up in the public school system. And that was me for most of my life. I was such a slave to obedience and authority. It's amazing that I managed to break out of it. So if I could, I promise that anyone can, because I was terrified to be even 1 minute late to class in high school. So if I can break out, I think it's possible for even the people who are the most far gone to start to see the true nature of government.
Not me. I never allowed myself to be systemized.
That's great.
Not for the life of me. I did not sit in one single class. I did not tolerate it because they weren't teaching me anything. It was like being in limbo land. So for 6 months in high school, I remember going to my girlfriend's high school and hanging out in class with her at her school, and neither school knew that I didn't belong there and I wasn't there. That shows you how much they cared.
Exactly.
It was all about the dollars. It was all about the dollars. Anything else you want to add before we go? We're running short on time.
I just wanted to thank you for giving me the opportunity to come on and talk to you and interact with your audience. It's been a lot of fun, and it's just so exciting to see that there are so many people engaged, because it can be lonely out there when you're reading the news every night and hearing what's on TV. But knowing that there are so many people out there who are passionate about it like I am, it's just very comforting, and it just reminds me of what I already know, which is that we're going to win. And like I said in the beginning, governments always topple. The more oppressive they get, the closer they are to falling. So I think we're getting pretty close.
Cool. Jane in California says she's the one that suggested you as a guest for our show, and she wanted to say that she's your biggest fan.
Aw, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thanks for setting me up. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Great news for you. I've been working with Vincent Bugliosi, and the name of the movie documentary is called The Prosecution of an American President. It's supposed to go after Bush and his gang. It's going to release in August on iTunes, so look out for it, people. It's been a long road, but it's finally getting there. So we'll probably have him back on. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, and it's been so much fun. I'd love to do it again sometime.
Yes, we'll have you back after your book. How's that?
Sounds great.
Yeah, make sure you get it done quickly, because I love talking to you.
Great. Sounds good.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful evening. And once again, thanks for joining us on The People Speak. If it's not mainstream, it's us. And it's definitely us. Thanks to Don Newsom on the BBS Radio Network. Have a good evening. Oh, and join us next week for our guest. Almost forgot him. Where did that go? Our guest will be Mark Klein. He is the whistleblower on AT&T and the NSA over 15 years ago. So they've been spying on us for a long time. Tune in next week, folks. Have a good evening. This is Rock Cash. I'm out.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.